Welcome to another episode of Pit Pass NASCAR. I'm your host, Mike Jokum. Frenchie is here. We have to thank new sponsor of the show, Fletterman Von Reese Watches. Also partners with Chase Briscoe. If you use promo code ChaseTime14, you get 14% off. I may not have mine on right now because it's at my girlfriend's apartment on top of the dog crate there. I forgot my little watch case, but nonetheless, they are very nice. I have one. Frenchie will have one soon. It's sitting on my stovetop right now and will be shipped.
Your stovetop?
Yeah, my stovetop is essentially used for storage right now because my kitchen table is 2 feet long. My apartment, as you can tell, like that door right there is my bedroom. I have a very tiny place because I knew I wouldn't be here very long, or hope I won't be here very long. So I'm like, let me just get a small place. And behind the TV is the washer and dryer. So that's all I need. That being said, yeah. Thanks to
for those who can't see.
Yeah, I know. I don't really care if they can't see, to be totally honest with you.
He's in a closet under the stairs like Harry Potter. We'll just go with that.
Yeah. So yours will be shipped out tomorrow, probably. I'm going to put it in my car, get some things done, and then get to that. We've got a race to talk about, but first, make sure to check out our other friends at underdogsports.com. If you deposit $100, you get $100 in free credits, so you get some extra betting money. Go check it out. The NASCAR and Formula One stuff will be up every weekend, pretty much for like from Thursday until after the race. IndyCar has some stuff coming up for the Indy 500 on there, so check that out as well. And make sure to click the link in our episode description on whatever podcast platform you use. All right. Before we talk about racing, I've got some fun questions for you. What's the weirdest gift you've ever received?
I don't know. There are some very strange gifts that I've received over time. I'm just going to say that I got some strange gifts for my wedding. Michelle and I did.
What was some of the weird ones? Like from the registry or not from the registry?
No, these were way off the registry. We wouldn't have put weird stuff on there.
Sure.
Also, the main thing that Michelle got a lot of stuff that she wanted off the registry. I had pretty much nothing that I wanted to add to that because most of it was stuff for the house.
Yeah.
I'm going to need it, but
you don't really care about it.
Yeah. She was going into detail. And this, I don't mean this in a gendered way at all, because normally I don't think that's actually how it works in my relationship. But yeah, for the detail of how this, the China and not China, but whatever the flatware.
Yeah, I know stuff looked.
I don't care.
Yeah.
However, I wanted a Dyson vacuum. We haven't gotten that yet, so I think we're going to buy one ourselves. I really want that.
I remember seeing that on there.
Yeah. I understand why people didn't buy that, but
no offense. But I'll stick with the salt and pepper shaker and whatever else we got you. I was sitting next to my girlfriend when she was looking at the registry, and I was like, "Yeah, just get whatever and tell me how much I owe you."
So thoughtful.
Wasn't really concerned.
No, I'm just kidding. The gift is that you guys were there. Cue like an aw sound from your soundboard that you don't have anymore. That we need to get you on. Yeah.
I definitely don't have room if I use the desk I'm at right now, because it takes my desktop computer and my laptop take up pretty much the whole space on here. But I do want one again, and I can't believe it got fried in like a crazy thunderstorm a couple of years ago. I think mine would be a couple of years, actually, when I lived in Indiana and I had gone on a couple dates with somebody, and who this person is, it was the springtime person I went on some dates with. I think you met at some point. Yeah. And for like all of a sudden, it was Father's Day weekend, and she was like, "Oh, I'm going to bring something over to your apartment." I was like, "Okay."
For Father's Day.
And it was like, it was a Happy Father's Day mug. I'm like, "But I'm not a father." She's like, "Yeah, but you have a dog." I'm like,
"Oh, okay."
That's weird. I don't know. And I guess
I thought that was going in another direction, even though I know it didn't.
Oh, no. Dodged that bullet, didn't I?
Happy Father's Day.
definitely dodged that bullet. But yeah, I don't know. I was very weirded out by that. I was very weirded out by many things in the couple of weeks we hung out. So I just pretend that whole year didn't exist. Anyway. All right, let's see here. We got a couple more. What Guinness Book of World Records record would you want to break one day?
I was going to be very stereotypical and just say the world's richest man, but I think that's pretty boring. And I actually don't think I'd want to be that rich. I think it'd probably be stressful. There's a certain level of rich that I'd like to get to.
And
the world's richest man, I don't think I could handle that.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about something with speed too, but I also don't know how I would handle that.
I'm going to go with a completely ridiculous one. And this is like not logical at all. I would like the world's longest fart, and we're just going to move on. Okay. So we all
know. Longest fart.
How much? I'm 12. Let's just be real.
You'd be famous for that, being interviewed on the news.
Let's see here. Okay, I have two more. Both of these are ridiculous. One is particularly ridiculous. So everybody knows what a smoothie is, because as you and I have talked about, Smoothie King is one of the most underrated, not a convenience store, it's not a restaurant. Fast health food, I don't know.
Pseudo health food.
Yeah, ketchup is not smoothie consistency, but not a liquid. Is ketchup a smoothie?
I'm going to say no, because it's considered a condiment.
Yeah.
And I don't know why it's not a smoothie, because it is just basically blended up fruit with sugar added.
Yep.
So that's a smoothie. So maybe not all condiments are... No, wait, which way would it be?
Not all smoothies are condiments, but all condiments. Right. No, but not all condiments.
The other way.
Yeah. I'm going to say yes, just to be different than you, but
okay.
I don't have a strong reason versus what you said.
Yeah, so I'm not sure.
Yeah. Where's the delineation of stuff?
Can you drink it with a straw?
You could probably ketchup, drink ketchup.
I think
with
you
a
probably could.
Yeah. Yeah, we've definitely gotten off to... All right, I have one more. This is just for fun. If your dog were to wear pants, would it put pants on the front paws or the back paws, or would we go side to side?
I'm going to say that the pants would go on the back. I don't really know what the pants would be for. But yeah, I guess if we wanted to buy him like a pair of jeans to make him feel cool, it would go on the back paws, wouldn't it? What do you think?
I think you're right. That's what I would say. Daniel also does not wear pants typically because he needs to use the bathroom, but he does love a good sweater, or he has a rain jacket, which I think you've seen on Instagram or something.
Yeah, I think I have.
But he also now, the only way I can get him to go out in the rain is if I literally carry him across the street, like down a half a block and over a half a block to a grassy area.
What do you think it is? He hates getting his paws wet, or?
Oh, yeah.
Like something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because he hates getting a bath. He hates all that crap. Anyway, we should probably talk some racing. Probably the best. It's going to be hard to top Kansas. What was this race called? What was the name?
The Advent Health 400, I think. Yeah.
Because stage one, we had an epic battle going back and forth for the lead pretty much most of the stage. There was some good passing in between. Every time we had a restart in the first two stages, which I think was just the stage breaks at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Cars were going 4 or 5 wide. There was a couple strategies going on. So before we get to the final stage, we had all of our cautions were essentially,
I think, in the third
stage too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the first stage, we had Chastain and Kyle Larson trading off lead lap sled. Then Denny Hamlin came in partway through during stage two, I think. And Chris Bell led some laps in there. Chris Buescher led some laps in there. There was a lot going on for a race that at that point was very clean. I don't know if you have any thoughts about the first 2/3 of the race before we get into the real fun part of the race. But I wanted to separate it real quick and see what you thought. At least, because even if stage 3 was tame, I still think this was the race of the year so far. I think if stage 3 was tame, it would have been like second place behind Atlanta still, but from start to finish, that was an outstanding race.
Yeah. And I'm looking, I think it was lap 165 was the end of stage 2. And we didn't get our first caution, I don't think, until lap 175 or so, because that's when Jimmy Johnson got spun around.
So stage 3 started out. Was it stage 3? Was it the beginning of stage 3? I think it was the beginning of stage three when Jimmy checked up and hit into and got hit by Corey LaJoy, which also took out, it took out somebody else too. And I don't have
Austin Hill and
nobody cares about him.
Looks like number 31, which is Daniel Hemric, was involved at least.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, I don't blame Jimmy for checking up. It was just, okay, there's stuff going on in front of you. You want to make the corner and set yourself up for a good backstretch. But like Corey LaJoy looked like he had absolutely no spatial awareness on the track. Yeah, Jimmy checked up, but Jimmy didn't slam on the brakes. So I was a little, like when Corey came on the radio and was like, why did he just stop? I'm like, I don't know. Did you see the tire smoke in front of him? I know that's not what Jimmy said in the interview when he got interviewed. He didn't say anything about that, but that had to play a part in why Jimmy did what he did.
Of course it did. Yeah. He was way too nice, I think, in that interview. He had a really nice tone and everything. I thought he was going to come out swinging, but...
Me too. Me too.
Yeah, because it felt unfair. But no, he didn't. He didn't even mention Corey LaJoy. He did on the radio, and we heard that. And he did glare at the seven, I think, as it came back around as he was standing on the side of the track. Yeah, so that was about it, I think, that happened there. I don't know what Corey was doing.
Then we went into a weird stretch where, was it Harrison Burton spun? Shocking. Yep. And there is no data.
Logano spun too, right? Didn't he spin at some point?
I think so. But I think that was like the crate, like that chaos.
Oh, with Briscoe. Briscoe spun. Briscoe came up the track and then Joey spun.
Yep. Thank you. And that took out, that's Bubba spun in that melee as well. And then there was the craziness that brought out the essentially brought out the green, white checkered, but that was just hard racing towards the end of the race. But I guess we can just jump to the end. If you were Chris Buescher, would you do anything different in the overtime?
I don't think so. They were banging doors as they went to the finish line. And it was Kyle Busch that spun with seven laps to go, I think, that caused the final caution. You're right about there being a big caution at some point, but it was before that. Yeah. I don't remember exactly what that one was, because I think Denny Hamlin was involved. Bubba was involved. Michael McDowell. And Austin Cindric was out of the race because of that one. So I can picture it in my mind, but I don't remember what lap it was. Chris Buescher, though, I think he did everything he could have done. When you lose by the slimmest margin of victory in the history of NASCAR, it's 0.001 seconds. And it has to be determined by the laser timing line that NASCAR has. I think you were close enough where it must be pretty frustrating to come that close.
The level of dejection in his post-race interview was hard to watch because A, it was depressing. And we just saw the best race of the year, maybe the best race in a couple of years. And but B, I'm like, hey, you still finished P2. And I know like a win would lock him into the playoffs and they haven't been very good this year. So I get it. But if I were him, I would have gone up just a little bit higher. He obviously was just low enough on the track that Larson could squeeze in there. And if and I know woulda, coulda, shoulda, and you can't split hairs like that. That's all we're doing. But if Kyle Larson is the guy chasing you, and Kyle Larson is good in that very top high groove, essentially any track that he can get to, you want to block that, or at least block the exit. So he's going to come back down off of that a little bit on the front stretch. So at least make it to where it's hard to get a great exit off of turn four under the straightaway. But again, coulda, woulda, shoulda, and it's not that big of a deal. But the momentary confusion when they crossed the finish line. Who was I texting? I'm texting my dad. I'm like, that race was awesome. Because he was watching, him and my mom, I was texting him, we were watching the Tom Brady roast on Netflix.
Oh, I saw clips from that. Wow.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to watch it. But
I'm not planning to watch the whole thing, no.
Yeah.
But the clips were pretty...
The clips are brutal.
Yeah, very.
But the finish, I was like, oh my God, that race was awesome. from start to finish. And my dad was like, who won? And I was like, I don't know. And even Larson said he didn't know until essentially he got done his entire cooldown lap. So I know there is some internet discourse on the slight jankiness of the finish line, which I will let you take from there. I don't have an issue with it after hearing the explanation. So, you know, I'll let you go first, though.
I don't either. They had to basically paint it down on an incline, and it's a different texture, I think, onto the apron as well. Different surface. So they have that pencil thin line. They don't go by the accuracy of the paint on the racetrack. It's the laser, the camera, basically, that's taking pictures from 4,000 to 20,000 frames per second. So they're able to capture this stuff. It makes sense that they would have a timing beam that you have to cross. I think that's what most racing series do. The fact that the finish line isn't perfect doesn't matter, because it's paint. It's going to come off.
Especially throughout the course of a weekend and people doing burnouts and whatnot as they win lower tiered races and all that. Also, the finish line is there for us. The finish line is there for the fans, people in the stands, people on TV. Mm-hmm. If it's not 100% accurate, but that digital line is 100% accurate, who cares? The discourse on Twitter for the last 48 hours is nauseatingly annoying. It's just like, Chris Buescher didn't win the race. When Chris Buescher's strategist, I forget his name, comes on the internet afterwards and says, hey, I don't have a problem with what NASCAR said, Kyle won the race. Cool. Move on with it. Stop your bitching.
Yeah. There's no other argument to that. Yeah. Because it's not going to change the result.
Nope. Okay. With that being said, race of the year right now, by far. I have one topic, and then we'll do driver of the day and we'll do our picks.
And my news items. I have saved up for us.
With mile and a halfs being essentially the crown jewel of current day NASCAR, you know, they are better than short track. They are better than super speedways in terms of racing product. Does NASCAR need to get rid of maybe some struggling track? Like, no, what track stinks that we've been to recently? Texas? Would you drop Texas and add a... I think there's already a second Kansas. Yeah, there's a Kansas. Would you add a third Kansas or a second Homestead or something like that? Like, would you consider that to be more beneficial to NASCAR?
You're right about the mile and a halfs being the races where there are the most options for drivers. They can go up different lanes, down onto aprons, all over the track. So it gives you the ability to be clever, be innovative, and really work on your car throughout the race to adjust things and plan instead of just having to run in one lane and hope you get lucky. I don't know if I'd get rid of these tracks, because I can't really think of one that just stands out as a terrible...
Texas?
Texas is not great, but...
Texas? Sorry.
I think it's owned by NASCAR, isn't it?
Yeah, I think
it's
so.
It's owned by SMI, right?
Yeah.
Which they own NASCAR, which is owned by NASCAR. So that's not going anywhere. I would like to see maybe change the banking on that. When they did that whole...
The reconfiguration.
Adjustment. Yeah, reconfiguration. That's the word I was looking for. They pretty much gutted it and ruined it. So maybe just go back to what's been working at other tracks and you can do that instead.
All right. Yeah, I respect that. All right. Who is your driver of the weekend?
I think it's going to have to be Noah Gregson. Another top 10 for him. He was always there in the background lurking.
Yeah.
In every shot of the leaders.
I am going to go with... I'm going to cheat. I'm going to go with both of the RFK cars. You know, Keselowski had a terrible qualifying, finished 11th, but was really running like 6th-ish at one point late, maybe before the final caution. I forget exactly where. And obviously, Buescher, we've already talked about. Okay, who is your disappointment of the weekend?
Disappointment of the weekend is probably going to have to be Ty Gibbs.
Yeah, he had a tire problem, I think.
Yeah, right. But he just wasn't really there. He was in.
He qualified
the picture
well
for a while. Yeah, he did qualify well, but yeah. He's been doing that, it seems like, every weekend and not putting it in the race. And everyone's like, when's he going to get his win? And I'm sure he's going to, but the longer it takes, the more I'm getting a little bit disappointed.
I am going to take Harrison Burton. I think time in the Wood Brothers car needs to end, because that car was competitive and then Harrison Burton got into it and it's not been remotely competitive. So some were like 36th.
Oh yeah. Okay. I was looking too far up the list.
Exactly.
I was looking like middle 20s and he's actually lower than that. Yikes.
Yeah. All right. What were our predictions?
He was like 5 laps down though, for some reason. He spun, I guess that's why, but you're right. The trend over the season has not been good. All right, our picks. We both nailed the good weekend pick because you picked Denny Hamlin and I picked Chris Buescher.
All right.
So we were spot on with those. For bad weekend, you said Cindric. Heck yeah, he got wrecked out.
He did. He was looking competitive in the race before he got wrecked, though. So
agreed.
Yeah.
But I would say he walks away from this weekend thinking it's a bad weekend.
Yeah, sure. Of course.
Not his fault in the sense that we choose the bad weekend, but... And I picked Kozlowski, so that's not correct. This is one of his better weekends of the year. For pole, you had Reddick. Where did he qualify? 15th. I had Byron, who qualified actually pretty poorly. He qualified 36th because he spun in qualifying.
Yeah.
So we failed both of those. The manufacturer, you had Toyota. And I had Chevy. So let's look at this real quick. There are four Chevys and three Toyotas. Four. Okay, so I win.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Ford sneaking three in there really screwed up my chance at a tie.
Yeah. Michael McDowell, Noah Gregson, and Chris Buescher. You're right. Yeah. This was probably the best race of the season for Ford.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Running should be simple. Just put on your shoes and go. And yet, when you try to learn about how to get better at it, especially as you age, you're confronted with conflicting advice, complicated workouts, and confusing nutrition trends that just won't work for you. On The Planted Runner, I'll share exactly how to run faster, longer, and feel great doing it at any age, because you don't have time to waste. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik, and I went from not running at all in my late 30s to finishing a marathon in 2:58 at age 42, all on a plant-based diet. I've helped hundreds of runners achieve new personal records well into their 60s and even 70s with science-backed training, plant-based nutrition, and proven mental strength techniques. Each episode of The Planted Runner is like a private coaching session on the run, where you'll learn from me and the guests I interview. You'll get actionable lessons to help you become a better runner every week and reach goals that you never thought possible. Whether you're training for your first 5K or your 50th marathon, take along The Planted Runner on your next run. Let me show you how your best running is still ahead of you.
Have you ever wanted to know how to win a Formula One Grand Prix? I mean, really know. Know about the driver tactics from the cockpit, the strategy calls from the pit wall, and even the mind games in the paddock. There's a lot more that goes into winning a Grand Prix than just 90 minutes of racing. So every week on the F1 Strategy Report, we're taking a deep dive into the decisions that shape every result. Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and every week I'm joined by an expert guest from the paddock to talk through the big calls that won the race and the missteps that resulted in bitter defeat. Before every race, we'll look back at the previous year's result and consult the current form guide, and we'll be in your feed after every Grand Prix dissecting the outcome and what it means for the championship. So for your regular hit of Formula One analysis, subscribe to the F1 Strategy Report wherever you get your favorite podcasts. The Strategy Report is a Beer Mogul podcast on the Evergreen Podcasts Network. My name's Michael Laminato, and I'll catch you after the checkered flag.
Hopefully it signals progress, but I'm not sure about that completely. We'll have to see. It's got to be pretty brutal to be that third manufacturer who just hasn't won anything yet. When two other manufacturers have shown that they can do this, and you still can't. Although this is another Hendrick win, so it's really just continuing the Hendrick versus JGR season that we're having, except for Daniel Suarez.
Yeah.
I want to tell you guys real quick about the easiest way to get some action on any of the major sports right now, including motorsports. It's Underdog Fantasy and their Pick'em game. Just pick higher or lower on your favorite or maybe your least favorite players or driver stats, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile app. All you need to do, pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your Pick'em entry. Get every pick right, and you're taking home some serious money. Maybe enough that you can buy an IndyCar team or give them some money for maybe some marketing. All you need to use is the promo code PLP and get your first deposit doubled by up to $500 by Underdog. Some points on why you want to use Underdog versus everything else out there. It's the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. You don't need to worry about waivers or trades or lineup setting. You can draft your team in a couple minutes and you're done. Like I mentioned, you sign up with the promo code PLP. Click the link in the show notes each and every week going forward on this show, and your first deposit will be doubled. In other words, you deposit $100, you're getting $100 free. Check them out, guys. We will try to do as many Pick'em sections in this show as possible each week going forward to give you our insight. We will share what we're picking, maybe even if it's other sports, if you guys are interested. Anyway, Underdog Fantasy Sports, check them out now.
All right, what's next prediction-wise? Sorry, I know is that it?
Those were all. I was going to do the news items real quick, and then we can do Darlington.
Yes.
Ricky Stenhouse has signed a multi-year extension to remain in the number 47 JTG Darty car. How do you feel about this?
It's fine. It's not super exciting. He's been less of a kook than he's been in years past. So it's fine. I'm interested because apparently that team is, there's some ownership changes in the works potentially. I'd be curious if somehow Ricky being back, maybe somebody goes in and goes, listen, he's a known commodity. Yes, I want to invest in the team and he's a good place. He's a safe pick at this point. He's not an exciting pick. He's probably not going to challenge for too many wins, if any, but he's going to give it his all.
Okay. That's one way to look at it. For me, I think if I was in that team and you're going through a complete restructuring, you build the team around a new driver that you bring in with you. So you have someone that's up and coming that looks talented, promising.
Yeah.
And you bring them in and you really just build around that person and hope that they'll take you to the front. And that's not Ricky Stenhouse, as we just said. So while I get his re-signing, it's not exciting whatsoever. No, I don't think it's really exciting for anyone. Yeah.
No.
Except Ricky, because I'm sure
his bank
account's happy. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Speaking from experience in the last 2 years, having a job is nice.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. The other big news is that TNT and Amazon are going to have Dale Earnhardt Jr. as part of their broadcast team when they come to cover the series. I guess for TNT, when they return to covering the series, and then Amazon when they begin covering the series next season. I think this is, as we talked about earlier this season, NBC totally fumbled the bag on this one. Dale Jr. is NASCAR royalty, not only because of his name, but honestly because I think he's liked by pretty much everyone. And he's really insightful, actually. Like, he's actually a fantastic broadcaster. So this is a coup by TNT / Amazon, whoever's really behind this. It immediately is going to have people interested in their coverage, and that is perfect business plan for them.
Yeah, it's epic from a drawing the casual TV viewer to your races. Who better to get right now than Dale Earnhardt, or who better to get in general than Dale Earnhardt Jr.? And that's all I need to say about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Darlington.
These throwback liveries. This weekend's exciting for that reason specifically. I guess the racing will probably also be good, but I just wanted to go through these real quick. Some of them highlight the best and maybe the worst and see what you think.
Pick out a couple you like and I'll do the same.
Okay, so number one favorite is Kyle Larson's car because
hands down
the Kellogg's Corn Flakes car driven by Terry Labonte back in the mid to late 90s was probably what got me into NASCAR, made me aware of NASCAR as a kid because I had a little diecast. I don't know if it came out of a cereal box, where it came from, but that worked on me. So I love that scheme. I also think that Brad Keselowski's Castrol livery is amazing because it's the Tom's Toyota Supra that they're paying tribute to. Those might be my top two. Do you have any to add for your favorites before we get into the ones we don't really like?
Yeah, give me 1 second here. I'm looking through this. My Wi-Fi is painfully slow.
There's two more, but I feel like you might pick these. So I'm going to see if you pick them. If not, I'll mention them.
Okay. And no, not that one. Ross Chastain's is pretty cool.
Agreed,
Bush beer. Nope, not that one. Ryan Preece's, which is a throwback to his 2013 Modified Championship, is, I think, pretty unique. It's not heritage grade or anything like that, like Larson, which is by far the best one. But I don't know. I think the gray, blue, and bright orange is a pretty cool combination.
Yeah. Oh,
which one did I like? Here it is. Reddick's throwback to Tim Richmond, the 82.
Wait, where is that? Have I seen that?
It's on the link you sent me.
I see it. Yeah, that's awesome. That is pretty cool.
I think there's honestly more I don't like, at least on this website. Suarez's throwback
awesome.
Adrian Fernandez is awesome. This website just crashed on me and restarted.
I do like Alex Bowman's Ally 48 car tribute to Jimmy Johnson. Oh, you don't like it?
I don't like it.
Oh, all right.
Why? I don't know. I think it's just very, like, the colors are just very blocky. Like, I just don't think it flows very nicely.
Ryan Ellis, Xfinity driver, he's also like lives in very close to me in Virginia and went to George Mason, or still maybe goes to George Mason. I don't remember.
Sure.
But he's driving the 43 kind of yellow and green Camaro, which is a tribute to the Days of Thunder car, which you can't really beat that.
I'm trying to load the second half of this website to look at the ones, and I'm not going to out them because it's a other media entity in a way, but this website keeps crashing and it's complete garbage. If you want to know what website it is, you can text me or DM me separately. I get to Alex Bowman, and then if scroll, let's see if it crashes again. No, Josevar, no, I don't like that. Looks like a vintage police car. It's fine. I don't care. Okay, scrolling back up, I'm going to tell you which ones I don't like, because there's actually more I don't like than more that I do. So Austin Dillon's isn't bad, by the way. The gold Bass Pro is solid. It's not amazing, but...
You're right about Carson Hocevar's car. It does look like a police car.
Yeah, it's weird. Not a huge fan. I don't mean to pile on him, but Corey LaJoie's throwback to his 2012 K&M Pro Series car at Darlington is, I don't know, it looks like, and maybe that's what they're going for, but it looks like it should be like a juice box, like, logo.
People are probably laughing at us because the Carson Hocevar car is sponsored by the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund, which would make complete sense why it looks like a police car. So
that doesn't make sense.
Now we're done. But no, agreed. I'm not a fan of it, but now it's supposed to look like a police car.
Yeah. All right, this website's crashing on me again. Oh, Harrison Burton's is boring. It's a throwback to the 53, or I'm sorry, it is throwback to the car from 1953, a 1939 Ford. And I get it. So it's a simple paint scheme, but it's with so many that are more interesting this year, it falls flat to me. Daniel Hemricks is boring.
Martin Truex it's a throwback to himself.
Some of these are, a lot of these are, even the good ones.
No, but it's literally a throwback to himself. Isn't it his 2016 car that he's throwing back to?
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, not even
which
like
to me, that's, go back a little bit further, please.
Yeah, if it's pre-NASCAR, that's fine, but throwback to your old NASCAR, that's fair. I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really don't. Hocevar's might be the one I dislike the most, honestly.
All right, that works for me. I think I was looking at some of the trucks because you haven't been able to get further down.
Nope. Oh, I just saw Sammy Smith's Xfinity ride. It's quite boring as well. It's another very old throwback to when the team first started. It's just boring. Brandon Jones, who is honoring Dale Jr.'s 2018 Hellman's, isn't bad. It's not super interesting. Sheldon Creed, you know, we can skip him. He's a dweeb.
There's two good ones right here that I just found. If you
John Hunter Nemechek's is pretty good. Hit the Xfinity.
Yeah. Yes,
that's I do like good. That one.
But Daniel Dye and Thad Moffitt, who are both honoring Petties. I guess Daniel Dye is honoring the 89 Darlington. No, just his peak auto for Kyle Petty. And then Thad Moffitt, I believe, is Richard Petty's grandson. So it makes sense that he's honoring him.
Also, shout out to Shane Van Gisbergen's Marcos Ambrose livery. Or I'm sorry, paint scheme. I forgot what racing we're talking about. It's pretty cool. I don't know what quad lock case is for the sponsor, but the paint scheme is pretty damn cool.
Yeah, you're right. I like that one. Also, I just think Xfinity cars look really cool.
They do. The truck something about series. Them. Corey Himes isn't bad. Not super exciting. All right, this website crashed again. I am so tired of this damn website. So frustrating.
Okay, let's leave it there and then do some predictions instead for Darlington.
Yes, please. All right, good weekend. I am going to take Chase Elliott. He didn't particularly have a great qualifying last spring at Darlington, but ended up on the podium. So let's take Chase Elliott, especially because he's starting to round into some good form the last couple weeks.
Yes, and he's been doing that lately, it seems. Like he just comes out of nowhere.
Okay, who is your good pick?
My good pick is probably Chris Buescher.
I am going to take Chase Briscoe.
For bad weekend.
Bad weekend.
Okay.
No offense to our watch partner.
Yeah, fellow watch lovers.
Whoops.
I'll go with Austin Cindric again, I think, unfortunately. You picked him last week to have a bad weekend, and he did. I'm going to pick him again to have a bad weekend. Oh,
no. I'm so sorry, Austin. I know you've had enough, a bad stretch this season. Your dad just got suspended from the month of May in IndyCar. What else can go wrong for the Cindric family?
True, they're cursed right now.
Cursed. All right, what's next? Poll. Who got the poll last year? All right, So Truex got the poll. I'm not picking Truex. I will pick Denny Hamlin.
Okay. Denny Hamlin also qualified second for the fall race, so not a bad choice there.
My man.
I'm going to pick Ryan Blaney.
That's a good one. And last but not least is the manufacturers in the top 10.
Correct.
I will take Chevy.
Wow.
It's pretty much a battle to see who gets Chevy and then who's going to pick Toyota. Yeah, so you're going to pick Toyota.
Yeah, I think I have to. I'm not going to gamble on Ford again. I already did it once.
Yeah, Ford was the winner last year. They had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the top 10 in the spring race last year.
Yeah, but they didn't win the race, so too bad.
No.
And they also didn't win the fall race.
I just meant winner in the total in the top 10.
Fair, but yeah, that's not enough for me to pick them. Sorry, Ford.
All right.
Sorry, not sorry.
I will likely not be watching the race. No, I definitely won't. I won't. We are in Boston.
We didn't do times.
Yeah, should I say that's that fine. They can figure out when it's on TV. They're fine. They're adults. Most of them are adults.
Yeah, if you have the NASCAR app, you should be good.
Yeah. Just go Google. Just use Google. Don't ask us what time the race is. Just Google it.
And we're just trying to be polite and helpful, but
I'm just being a jerk. I will not be watching any racing live this weekend because we are driving up to Boston for my nephew's birthday. So some family time. And yeah, okay. Enjoy all the racing this weekend, whatever you watch or don't watch. And I hope your favorite driver does not win.